we still got another 3 minutes to go. Then, like I mentioned just now, this coming Friday, there will be a talk at Tiratana Center in Klang MBC building. The title of the topic is very interesting, as proposed by the Klang people, Berdagan. It's understanding awareness or mindfulness with every breath when it arises, and with every thought when it arises, and with every action and movement in the present moment. You can develop that state of mind in meditation, then you are beautiful. You are destined for enlightenment. You definitely will awaken. Because that is the real sati, the real meditation. Able to be in a state of clarity, inner awareness, moment to moment. As your breath arises and passes away, as your thought arises and passes away, as you move within life, all of activity. Then also, like I mentioned just now, Sister Elsie came early today. She was the earliest to arrive. Then we had a very good discussion. She had so much joy. And because of her sharing, I came to understand many Kayanamitas too. They have actually progressed a lot, benefited a lot. Their mind has actually developed the understanding, and they are so different now. So I had a lot of joy. Well, these people are very new, and yet their understanding can bring about such transformation and change. Like I said just now, she told me earlier on when she was able to be aware of her heartbeat during normal meditation, she already had so much joy, and it was already so calm, so peaceful, and so different. But then nowadays, she said, this awareness of this heartbeat is like throughout the day. It's with her. She can be aware. I said, Sadhu, you can do that. Means your mind has transformed. You have developed the higher awareness or mindfulness. You are able to maintain that state of heedfulness throughout the day. Otherwise, you cannot feel like that. You cannot be aware of your heartbeat and other things. Then all of the vibration of nature, many, many things you can become aware. Because the moment you are quiet, peaceful, like she said, nowadays, hardly any thought, little or no thought, and there is so much clarity, then a lot of things that arise within nature. She can feel them. She can sense them. And it's so different now. Last time the mind is preoccupied with all this thinking, habitual tendency, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the chattering, the commenting, like commentary inside the head non-stop. Then she can see how this habitual tendency keep on repeating and making her miserable, conditioning her life to become what it used to be in the past. Now, after this understanding came, the mind becomes so different. There is so much clarity, there is so much awareness, and there is so much meaning to life. Everything is so different now. So that's why when you have this understanding, you will train your mind. And the moment your mind is trained, it becomes so beautiful. It's so different from before, the heedless way of living that lead to so much suffering, misery, and the power of thought to project and all those things. Then when she starts to reflect and contemplate deep into the Dhamma, like she said, every time she read or she listen to the recording, there is so much joy, so much understanding, and the heart like open up, can relate to all those things. That is what Dhamma is all about. That's what cultivation is all about. These are the important aspect of cultivation. You can do this. You become beautiful. It's not about fantastic meditation or fantastic mind state. Like you experience a lot of very marvelous meditative state. But if it doesn't lead to awareness, mindfulness, wisdom and understanding, for you to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how come you become like that, and what is this form and mind all about, then it is not meditation. But when your awareness through your mind training can allow you to develop all this understanding and make you so different, so calm, so peaceful, so wonderful, so different, and that is the real meditation, then you realize you have less and less problem in life. You have less and less worry, anxiety. And finally, you hardly have any problem at all. Everything can be confronted with understanding. And the mind becomes so beautiful. So, okay. We will have to start our puja now. 8:15. Okay, so tonight I will maybe get a few, 3 or 4 to light. I got quite a number of candles. Okay. We get Clifford, then Mimi, you come because you brought some candle. Then Hui Rong, then Brother Tim, he seldom light. Come. Hey, where is Clifford? come, Clifford. Got one more candle. Maybe Jin Hao also can come. Clifford, you can light the incense. He got ready. Okay. Jin Hao also got. Jin Hao, you can light the candle. Maitreya. Milofo. Sadhu. Brother Tio, yeah. There's one more. Hui Rong, you tian ah? Then Mimi mei you tian ah? Oh yeah, yi shi ng. Oh, zhong yao yi go. Alicia ka. Oh, never mind. Come, Alicia, you like the last one. Ne, the red candle. Hong se de. Sadhu. Okay, we all can stand, We will start the puja offering now. Come, all stand. Sadhu. Sad. sadhu, 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 Maitreya. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Oh, this one is here, Guan Yin. Sadhu, 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 put in the center. Sadhu, 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 in front of Sakyamuni. The sadhu, 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 ah, Maitreya there, at the far end, far end, sadhu, 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 rest the breath, give the breath there, sadhu, 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 never mind, it's okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the sadha, the faith, the virya, then we pay respect mindfully, then we will start the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Guan Si Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Mila Fo Pusa. Namo Mila Fo Pusa. Namo Mila Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Now we turn to page 4 of the chanting book. Then we can commence our puja chanting. We will start off with the vandana, salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majjhapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Okay, now we will chant the Padipa Puja, the offering of light. Okay, we got one item to offer. I think Stephanie, they all just brought. Her usual cake, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one homemade by her. She used to have this interest and ability to do very nice homemade cake, bread cake and all those things. Okay, we continue. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambudang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dupenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adivasetu no bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatu Muttamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will do the puja aspiration. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas, sharing and transferring of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Badang pujeme. Dhammang pujeme. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You all can be seated. Then just relax your body and mind while we off the light so that you all can start your meditation. I will off the light. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. For those who are still not so stable in their meditation, you can develop whatever training of mind that you need to develop. If you still need to decondition your heedless thinking and make your mind calm and peaceful, then you can start off with the mind sweeping method, combined with loving kindness or metta. Then after that, you will develop inner peace, leading to inner well-being. Then that mind state is very conducive for meditation. Then with that quietness and clarity, you can stabilize that mind. To stabilize this mind, you can use any skillful means, any method or technique that you are familiar with. Or you can develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. Anapanasati is taught by the Buddha. The purpose of all this object of meditation is just to act as a skillful means to anchor your mind so that this mind does not wander off and become heedless, so that you can anchor the mind to the object of meditation, so that this mind can be peaceful, quiet, and aware, and be with the moment. All object of meditation, may be the breathing or anything, is always within the moment. You are mindful of it. Your mind will be in sati in the moment without thought, and that will lead to the quiet, peaceful, meditative mind. That's how you train your mind. But if you have already developed your religious routine, your puja, your cultivation appropriately, your spiritual faculties will be developed. And when your spiritual faculty is developed, the mental hindrance will cease to be. So this initial training of mind to stabilize the mind, later on when your spiritual faculty is already developed, you don't need to do that actually. You will come to realize that the moment you sit or lie down, you're already aware. The mind is already silent, peaceful, and quiet. So there is no more any necessity to train this mind, which is already in sati. When the spiritual faculty are in place, when your sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is in place, your mind will become different. It will straight away settle down into the mindful state of inner peace, inner awareness, and it becomes quiet very fast because the hindrances are no more to disturb you. That's why meditation becomes very simple, very easy. So this is what meditation is all about. When you understand, it becomes very easy, it falls into place very fast. Then the moment you silent, relax, and just maintain awareness, it can be either at your object of meditation, or later on when you become very skillful, your mind state will become very quiet, very peaceful. The mindfulness will lead to an experience that we call piti, a spiritual joy or a spiritual calmness. They will arise naturally. When piti arises, your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very calm. There is a type of spiritual joy, spiritual bliss within. Sometimes people experience rupture. Then they will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax into all mind state that arise. Silence your mind more and more, more and more, until it becomes so quiet and so peaceful. Then the piti will transform and become more refined. For most people, after that, you will experience bliss, sukha. Sukha is a meditative bliss, a very blissful state of mind. You will feel the extreme blissful state within when you relax into the piti. Then this piti become more and more quiet, more and more refined, until the mind experience this sukha, which is a very blissful state. Then as you continue to relax, silent, and maintain awareness, even this sukha will dissipate. Then after that, your mind will become very quiet, very peaceful, very tranquil, and very still. Then it will hit pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, or the meditative mind. This is the mind that can develop the understanding This is the mind that can allow you to meditate and understand many, many things. So when this mind arises, you just continue to relax and silence everything. Then the mind becomes very sensitive. Then the mind has this ability to detect even the subtle breathing, the very fine breathing, or the very fine vibration within your heart area, or even your heartbeat without having to use a stethoscope. It will become like very clear to you. Then you just relax everything and silence. If the mindfulness drops to your heart base, let it happen. Otherwise, that subtle breathing will make you very sensitive and very aware again. Your mindfulness becomes more and more refined until you have this ability to be mindful of all the subtle or very, very fine movement within your own body and mind. Wherever you locate this mind, it will pick up all the vibration and activity within. Then you just continue to relax into it, every mind state. Whatever tension, stress within, or tightness that you can detect, you just relax into them. The first support for meditation is relax. When you can relax into every mind state, your mind becomes beautiful, stress-free. Then that relaxed state of mind, which is very peaceful, quiet, and stress-free, will have a lot of clarity. That's why you will develop inner peace, inner awareness, inner mindfulness, and there's a lot of clarity. Then you just silent. And this mind, the meditative mind, impassity, can understand many, many things. The whole of the meditation movement will start to arise. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha had taught, you will start to witness them arising and passing away within your form and mind. Then you understand clearly what the sixth sense is all about. How the physical senses, the five and the mind, make up the six organs. Then how the external sense data, the corresponding sight, sound or vibration, the taste, the smell, the tactile, and the thought, they become the sense data for your sixth sense organ to come into play. Then upon contact, the respective consciousness come to be. Then you will start to understand clearly how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? Then you will come to realize everything is dependent originating. There is no self within. There is no permanent unchanging entity within. Everything is just this natural state of dependent originating. Upon contact, many things happen. So the silent mind will be able to be aware of all this, understand all this. So this is what meditation is all about. So now I will allow you to continue with your training of the mind and developing of the meditative understanding. Then I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. But those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra gacchantu devata Saddhammang muni rajasa Sunantu sakamokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang bandata Namo artasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo artasa Bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa Bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso Bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijjacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opanaiko pacatang veditabu vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari yurisa yogani Ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anutarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to the Triple Gem. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You can be seated. Yeah? Then just relax yourself, body and mind, then maintain some form of attention, then we will continue. Before we continue with the Diamond Sutta, Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, I think I will read to you some of these interesting verses that I found in this book. Return to our pure nature. That day I went with my wife and Gumoy to Tropicana. There is a Chiji store there. My wife want to buy candles. We need to replenish them. Then I saw this book, which is quite interesting. Return to our pure nature. They got such a title. So I flick it. I find some of the sharing inside the book is quite interesting. That's why I want to read to you all. I think they have made it into their Jing Si Yi. I think Jing Si Yi is their what? How do you translate in English? Jing Si Yi. The two words. Is it poem? Si is poem, is it? Si xiang the si. Oh, jing? Oh, an jing the jing. Oh, quiet thought. Quiet thought or still thought. Jing si. Oh, yeah, now I understand. They make it into a collection of Dhamma. They call it the Jing Si Dhamma Lineage Collection. So this is written by their master, Zheng Yan Fasi. The introduction was, I think, based on a sutta. So I read to you. Return to our pure nature by Master Zheng Yan. So this is the like a preface to the book. He said the sutras are like a path. This path is a road for us to walk or tread on. Ordinary people travel on life's journey, do not realize that one ignorant thought can create subtle afflictions. If we do not clearly recognize karma and its nature, habitual tendencies in thought and action can become deeply rooted and give rise to more karmic negativity. Going from the worldly path to the path of the Bodhisattva, we abide by the four great vows in our hearts and practice the four infinite minds. These four infinite minds are the Brahma Vihara mind states, the four mind states of Metta, which is loving kindness, Karuna, which is great compassion, then Mudita, which is sympathetic joy, and finally Upeka, which is equanimity, factor of enlightenment. And the six paramitas in our actions, the six paramitas are the Mahayana way of perfecting the six perfections to Buddhahood. They focus only on six instead of the ten by Theravada. Only then can we penetrate the essence of the sutras and thus return to our pure nature. Only then will we realize that the mind, the Buddha and sentient beings are no difference in their nature. Everyone has Buddha nature and everyone is innately capable of attaining the same virtue and perfection as the Buddha. So this one is a very important understanding. Okay? Don't look down upon yourself. Do not underestimate who you are or what you are. Your nature is the same as all nature. Everybody has the potential to become Buddhas. That nature is eternally within. It's only through delusion that living beings fall and fail to realize that nature. So this is a very important understanding. Then we move on. There is another section where he talked about this true mind and pure mind. He said, living in this world, we often create defilements. So what the master tried to let their people understand is, he said, an ignorant thought creates the three subtleties. You know what are the three subtleties or not? What are the three subtleties? What are ignorant thought famous for? Greed, hatred, and delusion. So these are the three subtleties, understand not? So an ignorant thought creates the three subtleties. That, this one is very important. This one you can penetrate. It's just like during the Buddha's time. He actually create condition for many monks to become arahant. He talked about the sixth sense door and the 18th sense right, nothing else. And here, Zhen Yin Fa Shi also do the same. I think she must have got it from somewhere. Then she maybe improve on it. But I find this very interesting. An ignorant thought creates the three subtleties. Then external conditions lead to the six cosmics. What are the six cosmics? Through your six sense door. When there is delusion, all this will become muck. So the Diamond Sutta, we already understood what mucks are. The mark of a self, mark of a living being, mark of anything that you hold on to through your form and mind. It will hinder you from penetrating the true Dhamma, from realizing the perfection to be Sammasambuddha. So all of your cultivation, you must penetrate them to go beyond mark. Then he said, a human being or a human body has six sense organs, also called roots. That's why they call it liu gen. I think in Mandarin you all call it the six roots, liu gen. In Cantonese, they're famous for this saying. Cheng Cheng one is for the monk, but Lok Chan Pat Ying. Six type of relationship also, they don't want to have anything to do with it. And to do that, your six sense door must be full of wisdom. Liu Gen Qing Jing. If the six roots or the six sense door are not peaceful, are not awakened, then it's very difficult to understand life, very difficult to live life. So you say a human body has this six sense organ, also called roots. These six sense organ are the eye, the ears, the nose, the tongue, the body, and the mind. So five physical senses and the mind. Then externally, they connect with the six type of corresponding sense data or sense object, which they call dust. Understand? Dust. Dust, you all call what? Mandarin word is what? Dust. Chen, Liu Chen. These are the dust. These six sense data or object are form, means external form. So color, shape, and form that you can see through your seeing consciousness. Then sound, or in the form of vibrations. Then smell, whatever that you can sense through your nose. The curry smell, the whatever smell that you can come to know. Some very fragrant smell, some very pungent, then some very soothing. So there are many of these smell sense data. Then you can also have your taste sense data. You can use your tongue to taste whatever you drink. The taste can be sweet, bitter, sour, or sometimes they call it make your tongue, your taste bud numb. What do you call that? What is the English word? It make your taste bud numb. Mala. Ma. What is the English word? What type of taste you call that? Never mind. Anyway, it's one of them. Then tactile. Tactile means your tactile consciousness. Whatever that your skin or tactile sense bases can detect. Like your body has this ability to detect hot and cold. Then whether that things that affects the body, if you are pricked by something or if there is a wound or what, the tactile consciousness will arise accordingly. Then if you got disease and sickness, internally also it arises. That's why some of you will feel the pain, some of you will feel the itchiness, the whatever sensation that arises through tactile. When something is not right, it's the body's way of like letting you understand that you have to go and seek cure or a solution to it. So that's why pain is the natural body's response to tell you that something is not right. You have to look at it. That's why when you harm yourself, hurt yourself, or when you fall, or you have an injury, the pain will come. Then when there is this, what they call infection, it also causes a lot of pain and a lot of side effect. Then it is the body's way of telling you that you need treatment, attention. Then of course the last one is the thought that arises within the mind. When the mind of sentient being are stirred, this is the point of understanding that you have to focus on. Why did your mind stir? Why did living beings mind stir? Can we answer that first? Why? Why you stir your mind? Come on, try. Use the mic, I can't hear. Use the mic. Why did you stir your mind? Why did living beings react and stir their mind?
When we are deluded.
Ah, yes, very good, sadhu. When we are deluded, when we don't understand the truth, understand or not? Because you react and you stir your mind because you cannot understand there is delusion behind. But deep behind this delusion, we got to go deeper, because delusion can lead to three things. Delusion can bring about selfishness, anger, emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. So behind delusion is this three. That's how our mind stir. When we are not happy, when we see something we don't like, we react, we stir. Then when there is fear, we also panic. We also react, we also stir. Then when we are unhappy with things, because we cannot get what we want, then there is this craving, desire to own, to possess. That's why you react and stir and you want to do something about it. So this is what happens when living beings go through life. When you don't have wisdom, when you are deluded, your mind will stir and react. And this is how suffering comes to be. So Sun Yan Fasu also used the same example. He said, when the mind of sentient beings or living beings are stirred, ignorant affliction, such as greed, hatred, and delusion will arise. So now you understand, huh? Whenever your mind stir, means you are not at peace. You don't have wisdom. You cannot come to terms with the realities of the moment. You want things your way. There is craving. And because of that, it gives rise to affliction. It gives rise to suffering. So ignorant affliction or suffering born of greed, hatred, and delusion will arise. When we become lost and confused due to the interaction between sense organ and sense data or sense object, then our habitual tendencies and defilements grow and accumulate. That's why the cause of suffering is accumulation. Yeah. So this is a very nice way of putting it. So when the sense organ come into contact with the sense data, upon contact, sense door consciousness arise, and you don't have wisdom through delusion, you will react and stir your mind. And this is how living beings get into trouble. That's why here Chen Yen Pastor say, when we become lost and confused due to interaction between this sense organ and the sense data, means you cannot understand what is happening. You cannot see the impermanence of all these phenomena. Impermanent nature leading to the suffering state. And because it's impermanent, it is not a permanent unchanging entity where you can grasp onto, hold onto and say, this is me, this is I, and all this can be mine. And because of that, you will get yourself entangled. But the moment you can see the impermanent characteristic leading to suffering, and when you are not deluded by the condition arising or phenomena, then your mind is at peace. It will not stir, it will not react, it will not bring about suffering. So all this will become very clear. But you need wisdom, you need understanding. So that's why this part is very important. When we become lost and confused due to interaction between sense organ and sense object, our habitual tendency and defilement, see? Things that you constantly react and stir. That's why it becomes habits. Habitual tendency comes to be. That's how the five mental hindrances has power over you, because they keep on arising. You are so heedless. Living beings are so heedless. That's why just now before we start, I gave the sharing, the example that Elsie had a discussion with me. That was a very good one. The moment you train your mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be sensitive, and when you start to see all this stirring of mind, reaction of mind, habitual tendency coming in to entangle you through delusion and causing all the suffering, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow and the lamentation, then you see how foolish you have been, how deluded you have been. And life need not be this way. Life can be very meaningful and very beautiful if only you can be heedful, mindful, to be aware of what is going on, so that you do not allow this mind to behave that way, so that heedlessness can be understood and the mind can go above it and develop the opposite, which is heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you have clarity, you can see all this. And you can see the delusion behind the arising of all this human suffering. And from there onward, you will never behave that way again. You will never allow heedlessness to take charge of your life anymore. You will start to resume your power to live, your right to live. Because your life, you decide how you want to live. It's not the other way around. Where thought has power over you, where thought can delude you and create so much delusion in you. So this is what meditation is all about. When you train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, you can understand all this. And then you can see the big difference. The heedless way that lead to so much karmic negativity, suffering, fear, worry, anxiety, as compared to the heedful way, which is so peaceful, so calm, so beautiful, so meaningful, then life can take a turn for the better. Then it's very easy to decide. You will choose to be heedful. You will never allow your mind to be heedless again. And you can see clearly and you can understand what are the evil roots. How through delusion, the three evil roots are greed, hatred, and delusion can trigger off so much suffering in the human realm. Humanity can get themselves entangled through this delusion. So when the three evil roots are understood, habitual tendency will be understood because they come from these three evil roots, which are the defilements within the mind. When you can root out the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then you are no longer evil. The absence of evil is good, perfect. So a living being that is without selfishness, without craving, without desire, without lust, without anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, and emotion, without fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, they are very, very beautiful. When the evil roots are no more, you are incapable of evil. You become beautiful. That's why the opposite will arise, the wholesome state of mind, the heedful state of mind that has this clarity, inner beauty, inner peace, inner tranquility, inner silence, and what they call peacefulness. So there is this happiness and joy constantly arising within the mind that is peaceful and calm, that has clarity and understanding, that is never entangled anymore, the mind that will not react or stir under any circumstances, because there is understanding. There is this heedfulness within, leading to the wisdom to understand life. You are no longer heedless. So this habitual tendency and defilement, if you do not have wisdom, you cannot root them out. And they will grow and accumulate and make you more and more evil, more and more deluded, and more defiled. So it is then difficult to return to our original pure state of mind, means return to realize the true mind. If we do not clearly understand the law of karma, see, she also understands the importance of understanding this law of karma. We are in danger of creating more negative karmic connections that can lead to painful karmic retribution in the future. That's why you must heed the Buddha's advice to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind so that you can return to your pure state, your pure nature. That's why the title of the book is called Return to Our Pure Nature, which is to return to your true Buddha nature, the true mind within. That true mind is incapable of negativity, incapable of delusion, where there is nothing inside there. It doesn't create anything. There is no thought, nothing. It's just empty, silent, aware. And through that nature, it can understand many, many things. It can awaken to phenomena. It can insight into their characteristics. That's how you can bring forth the wisdom and the understanding to liberate this mind. The mind that is liberated, the mind realizes itself and sees. That's why the realization of Nibbana, which is the cessation of form and mind, is possible only when there is wisdom, when there is understanding. When that understanding awakens the mind, and tell the mind do not become deluded anymore. Do not hold, do not cling, do not grasp. And when there is no more craving, there is no more arising of mind and thought. That's why it will cease and it will realize the enlightenment there and then. It's the cessation of craving that is the enlightenment. That's why craving is the cause of suffering. When craving ceases to be, suffering ceases to be. And craving can only cease to be when delusion or ignorance ceases to be. That's why the whole of the dependent origination, they are all interconnected. Dependent on ignorance, the mind starts to create mental activity. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity. Avijja is ignorant. Dependent on ignorant, mental activity arises. There's a thought arise, thinking arise, heedlessness arise, habitual thinking, habitual reaction, habitual stirring of mind. All this they arise. But the moment you understand, thing is just the way it is. You will be at peace. You will not stir. You will not react. Then the thought loses its power to project and create all this fear, worry, anxiety, and panic attack. Yeah. But when you don't understand, this thought, this mind move very fast. That's why it stir and react and create all this panic attack, fear, worry, anxiety, delusion. This is how living beings can actually get themselves entangled. And this is how their mind state can be affected. And all this come about because of delusion, ignorance, not having right views with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence, not able to comprehend the universal characteristics of all phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity, hence it's non-self. And because it's impermanent and non-self, that's why it's empty. He no you, he no me. Everything is just condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. Only mighty nature rolling by. He no you, he no me. Yeah. Everything is just nature. Nature's law arising and passing away. That's why the statement by the Buddha, whenever somebody pass away, I think recently there is a monk who passed away. How many of you know the monk? I also don't know the monk, but I know he's from Brickfield, Dhammanida. You know him or not? Or you come across? Because Sui An sent it out, I think. Then Sui An asked me, I said, I don't know him, but I know he was from Brickfield. I was told he was a disciple of Kesari Dhammananda, the later one, the much, much later one, the more junior one. I think people sponsor him. Did he finish the course? He just finished the course there. Then it seemed he was quite sick earlier on, I was told. Then he succumbed to the cancer, isn't it? Yeah. It's a bacteria, not cancer. Because I only heard from Sui An. Then sometimes this Buddhist community, they send out some of this Facebook thing. Anyway, what I want to read to you is more important. This one is what I think Brother Chim has sent out. This one is a good one. I will have to read the Pali onto you. This one, the meaning is very beautiful. He only sent out the Pali, but he never explained to you the meaning. Anicca watta sankara You heard of this? Anicca. Anicca Wata Sankara. Every time somebody passed away, or the Buddha will remind the monk, he said, Anicca, or Anicca Wata Sankara. Then, Upada Vaya Damino, Upakituwa Niru Jihanti, Tesang Upasamo Soko. The Pali, I know good. I cannot pronounce properly. Well, this one, the monk seldom speak. But I found it very interesting, this one. The meaning is this. You listen. But what the internet translate is not so correct. You know, anicca is impermanent. Vata sankhara means, they translate as all conditions, things are impermanent. But the actual Pali word is sankhara. So all sankhara are impermanent. Sankhara are condition arising dhamma from the mind, understand not? So all of condition arising dhamma from the mind. What is sankhara? Everything that the mind can do, remember? The whole content of consciousness is sankhara, including feeling and perception. Can follow or not? Can remember? Sankhara got 52, mind state, including feeling and perception. That's why you have four aggregate of mind. Vedana, Sanya, Sankhara. But Vedana and Sanya is included in Sankhara, Nasana. So actually it's only Sankhara and Vijnanang. Vijnanang is the receptacle, the container that holds the content, Nasana. So the consciousness and its content is the thought, which is the five aggregate of form and mind. But the content of consciousness is Sankhara, because it's inclusive of Vedana and Sanya. So all of mind state, condition arising Dhamma, they are all impermanent. Because mind make Adi, understand not? That's why this whole of phenomenal world, the whole of this universe, is just a phenomenal world of consciousness, nothing else. And how real is consciousness? It's just a mind state, arise and pass away with its content. So, the first verse, Anicca Vata Sankhara, is all conditioned Dhamma from the mind are impermanent. Then the second sentence is very important, the Buddha said. The second Pali word is Upada Vaya Damino. He said, their nature is to arise and pass away. Understand not? This understanding is very important, the Buddha said. To live in harmony with this understanding or this truth is very, very important. And when you can have this, the last sentence will come. It will bring about the highest happiness in life. That's why here the Buddha say, Tesang Upasamo Sukho. So his teaching is very simple. All conditioned Dhamma are impermanent. Their nature is to arise and pass away. Dependent originating. There is nobody inside there. Understand not? There is nothing permanent inside there where you can hold on to, grasp on to, and cling on to. Understanding this truth and be able to live in harmony with this truth means you don't go and stir your mind and react and want things your way will bring about the highest happiness. And when you can understand this, whatever happens, your mind is always at peace. That's why anicca, vata sankhara. Then the other word is, I remember, vaya vayo sankhara. All of sankhara is like that. They arise and they pass away. This is their nature. That's why it is impermanent. And when you cannot accept this reality, it will lead to suffering. That's why the universal characteristic, when the moment you see impermanent, you will see dukkha. Because whatever is of the nature to arise and pass away, dependent on condition it arises, dependent on condition it ceases. Is it satisfactory? Is it satisfactory? It's definitely unsatisfactory, isn't it? Whatever mind state you may have now, very happy, very peaceful, very blissful, but because it's impermanent, that's why you cannot hold, you cannot grasp. Because sooner or later it's going to change. And this state is going to cease. Then another state will arise. So if you cling on to one side, you will develop suffering. Because everything that arises, they are dependent originating. When conditions cease to be, they will cease to be. Even your this body, your loved ones, your wealth, your property, they will cease to be. Because they are all conditioned arising, not a permanent and changing entity. And they are never you. They never belong to you. They belong to nature. From nature it come, to nature it shall return. And when you see this truth clearly, you will awaken. You will not be deluded by it anymore. And you will not hold on to things anymore like the way the deluded living being try to hold and cling. You will understand them very clearly, how they arise and how they will come to pass. And where there is condition to have them, use them for the good of the many. That's why this body and mind is for you to use. All of the condition arising thing, like your money, your wealth, your whatever, is for you to understand and use. You cannot hold on to them, you cannot cling on to them, because they are impermanent, they will lead to suffering. They are condition arising, dependent originating, no reality. Understand? This is the most penetrative Dhamma. If you understand this, you penetrate all the Dhamma. The rest are all spin-off from this understanding. That's why the key to understanding the Buddha's teaching is to penetrate the three universal characteristics. And the most powerful one is this characteristic of impermanence. The moment you penetrate this, the other two automatically will be realized. They are all connected. So this is what I want to share with you all tonight. We still got time. Let's see whether there's anything else that we can share or not. Today we just share this part. Then I read to you, there's another section from here. This is the transcript talk, Samatha Vipassana Bhavana, the talk that I gave in Klang last year, 24th April. This one is very good. There are some of the important dhammas that can help you a lot. I will read to you. You listen, just to refresh your... Okay, maybe I cut short it a bit. Huh? This one is too long. Okay, I read to you this part. I have quite a number of these people coming to my weekly meditation classes. Okay, maybe I read from earlier on a bit. Huh? Like this body, take care of it while you can, but don't attach and don't cling to it. And then use it with understanding so that you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. With wisdom, you will come to understand that this form and mind of ours is a beautiful vehicle and tool for us to use to live life, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life, so that we can truly live life from moment to moment with joy, love and understanding, with clarity of mind, peace and heedfulness, without all the usual agitation and problems like before, plus without having to worry about life anymore, like every day. This is the Cantonese word. Every day also so kanchong, anxious. Kanchong is anxious in Cantonese. Chasing after this, chasing after that, scolding your children, yelling at your loved one, complaining and getting angry, etc. The question is that life? But living beings are doing that in a complaining, doing all those things. That is really suffering, isn't it? Constantly arising all the fear, the worry and the anxiety, etc. And sometimes no mood to eat also. At night, want to sleep also cannot sleep, leading to insomnia. Then depression leading to insomnia. Some of them even say after taking sleeping pill also cannot sleep. I have quite a number of these people coming to my weekly meditation class. Initially, they don't know me, but they were introduced to me by other Dhamma friends or Kayanamitas. They used to tell me, "Brother Teo, I got something that I really got to consult you." I say, "Yes, what is it?" And then they were described to me how their depression and all those related things are affecting them and causing them so much suffering and pain. So I said, "You must have seen psychiatrists before, isn't it?" He said, "Yes, seen many. And some see until their medication also have no more effect." They also relate to me the way it had tormented them. It was really traumatic. Many of them said the psychiatrist gave them antidepressant and sleeping pill, and after taking them, also cannot have proper sleep. At the most half an hour or 1 hour of sleep. After that, wide awake. And they say it's really agonizing. Because deep inside, there is so much fear, anxiety, unhappiness, sorrow, lamentation, grief and misery. And at times, suicidal thoughts that say, might as well die, keep on arising. You may ask, how come they end up like this? Then I always give them the following very important or useful advice to make them understand. You listen, this one will help many people. You can use it to help your friend or your loved one. It is only a thought for the benefit of those who want to know. It's on page 28, 29, and now page 30 I'm reading to you. This was based on my talk in Klang. It's only a thought. How come it has such great power to make living beings so miserable and so confused? Who gave it such power? It is you, through your own delusion, self-delusion, that gave it such power, So do wake up, for life need not be like this. Life can be meaningful and wonderful. Thought is like a tool for you to use to live life. So use it wisely to arise the appropriate right thought, to bring about the good life of love, happiness, joy, and peace, instead of arising all the deluded wrong thought of anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, and grief, etc., to harm yourself and to hurt yourself, and to make yourself so unhappy and so miserable. So this is the wrong way of using thought. Understand not? When you arise a wrong thought, it's like using that tool wrongly, like a knife. Instead of using it to serve you, shape fruit, cut veggie, do your whatever, carving or related thing, you use that knife to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hurt others, and hit out at others. That is delusion, foolishness, using that tool wrongly. Then the third advice is, each and every one of us hold the key to our own life destiny. And to be happy and unhappy is our choice. So choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Then why are you still not happy? It is mainly because you don't have the Dhamma to guide and advise you. You make the wrong choice via your own delusion and lack of proper right understanding or right view. So cultivate the opposite, virtuous right thought of love, compassion, happiness, born of contentment, gratitude, sincerity, respect, generosity, and honesty, etc., to bring back the joy, the love, the peace, and happiness to your life. So when you have this understanding, when you decide to be peaceful and happy, you will know how to do it. Yeah. That's why you hold the key to your own life destiny. Then if you don't meditate, you cannot understand all this. That's why the Buddha said the heedless are as if dead. And this is a very dangerous mind state. Because when you are heedless, you are spiritually dead. You never live life. Oh, then with that, I end my talk. So that was the advice I gave to those people. And if you have those friends who have this problem, you can also counsel them in the right way through the Dhamma understanding. Then show it to them that this is possible. Okay, then there's another part. This one is based on a question, I think. Okay, I'll read to you. This one is regarding the two types of jhanas. Absorption and wisdom jhana. So the answer is you don't need to have jhana. Means I'm referring to absorption jhana to become enlightened. But nowadays, you have to be more careful because now they talk about the two types of jhanas. One is absorption jhana and the other one is born of wisdom. There are two schools of thought. They say wisdom jhana you can also develop via sati or mindfulness. And you can also experience all of the eight jhanas. And this one has nothing to do with concentration or absorption. So to them, these eight types of jhanas are not apana samadhi jhana, but pure jhana that can be experienced via sati or awareness only. They differentiate them to different mind state. It's just like the absorption jhana, but they are not in the absorption state. But they experience all those mind state like piti, sukha, and ekagata, and all those things. but they interpret it to wisdom, and they call it wisdom jhana. What they are trying to tell you is, starting with vitaka and vichara, you then develop sati. And when you are in sati, you are just aware. Then piti and sukha can arise. Then you enter the first jhana, but without the one-pointedness energy field. Then when vitaka and vichara is no more, the mind enters second jhana. Then when piti is no more, the mind in sati enters the third jhana, followed by the relinquishment of sukha, which is bliss. Then the mind enters the fourth jhana, which is a state of upacara samadhi. You can experience all this. Ekagata or apana samadhi will not arise because you never focus or concentrate. So while experiencing piti and sukha, and if you are just aware in upacara samadhi, then you can come to know their nature. They are conditioned arising and they always come and go, hence realizing their impermanent characteristic. Then in the fourth jhana, they don't go into ekagata, but instead they go into pasati or upacara samadhi, a form of tranquility or stillness, which is like equanimity, because they say in this state, the mind is not non-reactive and in upeka. Then the fifth jhana is when they say, when you are aware of infinite space, then you stay with that infinite space consciousness. This one without energy field also. So they say Venerable Sariputta actually experienced those jhana. That is how they interpret the sutta. But it's up to you. Because what is important is the Buddha never actually brought up all these things. The jhana meditation was mainly derived from the commentaries which are essentially adopted from the Hindu practice. The Buddha only teach the five spiritual faculties, seven enlightenment factors, and the Four Noble Truths. Very simple. And in the Fourth Noble Truth, the Buddha never said that sama samadhi is sama jhana. Otherwise, he might as well put the word jhana there. Why did he choose a different word, samadhi? For samadhi is unification of mind, collectedness of mind, and the unwavering mind. And there are three types of samadhi which you will go through as you develop the silent mind. When you do nothing, initially it becomes like moment-to-moment awareness, but it's not really a continuous mindfulness as yet, because the nothing is by the thought. That's why this one, which you term Kanika Samadhi, is not stable. In a retreat, maybe, when you slow everything down, then you become more calm and more mindful, especially when you don't verbalize anymore. Actually, if you are so conditioned by the noting method, then there will be a lot of verbalization and concept while doing the noting. Not until you can realize that shortcoming and you can stabilize the mindfulness until everything is like a flow, no more words, no more noting. Then body and mind as one, phenomena and mind as one. And then you enter upacara samadhi, which is more stable. And this one, you can carry it into your daily life to cultivate the daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana. And this one, you don't have to slow things down. Even at normal speed or pace of life, you can still be aware, because the moment you are silent, no matter how fast the fan speed of phenomena is, the awareness is there. And it can be with it. Be with the moment. With it. Even the TV screen, I remember, I tested it 20 to 30 years ago. I was looking at it via sati in complete silence. And the movement was so fast, like lightning speed. And yet the awareness can still be with it. And it's like everything slowed down. It's like a flow inside there. Then there is no perception, nothing. It's just aware, fully aware. So when you develop the meditation with understanding all this, you will come to understand. the form and mind, which is the human being, you will come to understand. Then that nature within, that is capable of the direct seeing via sati, will understand. It will see things as they are, without words, without thought, without concept. Then it will awaken. And then after that, of course, it has to use words to communicate and to express them. Otherwise, the being no need to say anything, because it understands and it doesn't need words. For words are only needed for communication, for expression, and to conceptualize it for you to understand and to have an idea of what these things are. That's why idea is not the truth, not the reality. Do you all have any more questions?
Yeah.
So this is the part that I want to share with you. Oh, 10 o'clock. Maybe I read to you this last part. Okay. Like during our recent Cameron Highland retreat that Bratty and some of you went, life was so meaningful and beautiful when they were up there. And those who went, they will know, because at the retreat they experienced big difference between heedful living and heedless living. Those who are heedful, they are so peaceful, so mindful and aware, awake and relaxed. No need to worry about anything. But how come when they come back to society, to their daily life or daily routine, their problems and their worry starts again? It is because they had become heedless again, and their thought has started to proliferate again. All of the things that you are concerned about, like your business, your career, your health, your relationship, your problems, and your daily routine, etc., through memories, everything like start to come back to you and haunt you again. Then your fear, your worry, your anxiety, etc., will start to manifest again. So why must life be this way? It is because you don't understand life. You have allowed thought to heedlessly create and project via your self-delusion and ignorance. To arise all those suffering, mainly because you grasp and cling and give meaning to so many things that had arisen within the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how you project your thought, your fear, your own worry, and your own anxiety. You project into the future to arise the fear, and then you recall the unhappy past, which are your scars of memory. Then you never live life, because you are never with the moment to understand the reality of life and existence that will unfold to you, the secret of life, so that you know how to live life, to be with the moment and at peace with everything, to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. That is really life. There is no more problem in life if you understand. You only have to perceive things with wholesomeness as the way it is, understanding the reality of what is, and don't try to create the opposite or wanting things your way. We are wanting things your way. Then not able to accept the reality of the moment, that is the cause of suffering according to the Buddha. So the cultivation is actually very simple, just like what the Buddha had taught. First is to cultivate the five spiritual faculties, and this one you can do it through the puja, your pre and post puja. Every morning have a good religious routine. When you wake up, pay respect, triple jam, develop the chanting. Chant the salutation to the Buddha or whatever Bodhisattva that you have affinity with. Then you can take refuge and you can renew your five precepts. And then you meditate for about 10 to 20 minutes or even 30 to 45 minutes. This is how you train your mind in sati. That is, as you pay respect, you develop sati. And then as you calm and compose your mind, you develop faith, or what they call Siddha. Then from there, you reflect and contemplate on the nine great virtues of Lord Buddha and how wonderful his teaching is. Then you determine strongly to cultivate diligently. Then virya will arise. Virya is the spiritual zeal or tenacity to go this way. So once you have these two, then you silence your mind to develop mindfulness or sati via your bowing, sitting, walking, standing and lying down. All of your four posture, including anapanasati, etc. Then after that, via your daily mindfulness, you connect all the movements between the four posture to cultivate the daily mindfulness. Don't try to be aware, but instead just silence your mind and you will be aware naturally. But initially, when the hindrances are strong, you only need to develop the spiritual faculties to counter them. Then if you really want to meditate, you have to decondition this heedless thinking via applying the appropriate skillful means, like mind, spring method, metta, etc. that I have taught you all. That book, the 12th of September 2013 transcript on understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha, I think only those who came for the Thursday class, they have got the book. It is all very clearly explained in that book. To decondition your heedless thinking, you have to initially do the mind sweeping method combined with metta from your forehead down. You know how to do it, isn't it? You just feel your forehead, silence everything, then relax. Then you move it to your eye muscle and again feel and relax. Then facial muscle do the same. Then you radiate love and metta to develop the wholesome mind, the inner peace leading to the inner well-being. You can then recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness within your entire being and then silence your mind and have more and more moments of this silence to decondition your heedless thinking. Then as you develop this, you just feel and relax. Don't think. As you sweep through your whole body, you are actually deconditioned this heedless thinking because it has got no chance to think anymore. Just feel. If there is any tension, any tightness, any stress within, just relax them. Always feel and relax. Don't think. Hence, no more thought. Only awareness and silence. So if you do this exercise long enough, you will become very calm and very peaceful. And you will become very calm and And when you become very calm and very peaceful, sati will start to develop on its own naturally. And when sati starts to develop, you can stabilize it via anchoring it to an object of meditation, either anapanasati or any other suitable object of meditation that you are familiar with. Then finally, when your breathing becomes very subtle and quiet, then you don't go and do sitting and touching via verbalization. Instead, you should just silence your mind and stay silent. Then if you can, you move your sati or awareness to your heart area and feel just aware. And then see what happens. A lot of things will happen. Then you will develop the stability of mindfulness. Your mind will enter sati. When your mind enters sati, you technically don't need the object of any meditation to become mindful anymore. The object of meditation is just a skillful means to anchor your mind so that your mind does not heedlessly wander off. That's why anapanasati is awareness of the in and out breath. Every time it wanders off, brings it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it back until the mind is trained. So that this heedless habitual thinking and reaction of mind does not happen anymore. That's why after some period of training, sati will arise. And then it becomes kanika samadhi, moment-to-moment awareness. Then when it stabilizes further until it becomes continuous, no more thought, then it will become upacara samadhi. Then when you have continuous mindfulness, it can then enter absorption and go into apana samadhi. You can experience them all. During the early days, I did it. I went into it, and I can shut off my sense door consciousness. The hearing consciousness, I can shut it off. When I got into this absorption state or apana samadhi, this energy field can shut off the hearing consciousness, and that's why I cannot hear anything, like completely shut off. They call this citta vivika, means mental renunciation, means you renounce the external world, you stay within. Then after that, you read for yourself the three type of peace. Kaya vivika, citta vivika, and upadhi vivika. Okay, with that, maybe we will stop the sharing. We come back to our Diamond Sutta. We still got 20 minutes. Okay, we turn to the page we stopped. 46, is it? Was it page 46? Correct, huh? Okay. Maybe we read the opening statement on page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then we go to page 46. So the title is behind, the page behind. He understands the great principle. I think we have touched on this a little bit. This is the understanding that one is oneself originally a Buddha. Like just now I share with you from this Sunyan Pasa. Return to our own pure nature. So each and every one of you, you are beautiful actually. You have this Buddha nature within. So this is the great principle. This is the understanding that one is oneself originally Buddha. The principle is Buddha. Buddha is the principle, and Buddha is the one who has already realized Buddhahood. The Mahasattva understands that he himself has not yet realized Buddhahood, but that basically the Buddha and he are one, not two, and not different. The Buddha's cultivation of virtue is perfected, that of living being has not. Living beings are not yet realized Buddha. Buddha already realized living being. One should not become confused about this and profess to be Buddha, saying, I am Buddha and Buddha is me. The Buddha is a living being who has realized Buddhahood. Living beings are not yet realized Buddha. So this is the part he wants you to make sure you comprehend. How is it that we are originally Buddha? So we see what Shenhua say. Real Mark Pranya is not separate from the mind of living beings. The Buddha is the mind of living beings. Our true mind is the Buddha. As present, however, we have not excavated and uncovered our own true nature. Actually, the word excavator is wrong. There's nothing to excavate. We have not uncovered our own true nature. And we use the false thinking mind. See, this is your mundane mind. That's why you cannot differentiate between your conditionalizing mind, mundane mind, or your thinking mind. You can never understand the true Dhamma. You have to clearly distinguish between these two minds. One is the conditionalizing mind, causal phenomenal mind, mundane mind, thinking mind. The other one is the silent mind, meditative mind, your true mind, your true nature. You cannot differentiate between these two. You will never comprehend the teaching. Understand that? That's why go into the silent, go into the stillness. Don't try to know. Meditate until your mind is very quiet, very peaceful. Then carry it into your daily life. To have this understanding and state in the midst of life. And it can be done, not only by me or my nature. So many Kayamita is able to do it. Even Clifford told me when he was in Anandagiri, his mind, he was so surprised. those few days, no thought, hardly any of this wrong thought, cannot even come in, because it was fully aware, hateful. And Clifford is very new, and he is there, he can tell you, you ask him. And he was full of joy. After that, he came back for, don't know, 4 more days, 8 more days. That type of thought never affect him anymore, never disturb him anymore. So these are the understanding that can actually change a person, develop the understanding. Then when you know how to do the appropriate, what they call approach towards the cultivation and meditation, all these are possible. Of course, you also have to understand karmic obstruction. That's why many Kayamita also went through that. So when they clear karmic obstruction, they connect very fast, they progress very fast. So you must have faith. The moment you have faith, like what we went through last week, faith, sincerity, and perseverance, the three important mind states leading to enlightenment, faith must be deep faith, or sadha, unshakable faith. Then you must be very sincere. Means you really want this way, and because you are very sincere, you are willing to go all out to cultivate, to determine, to come with the strong vow and aspiration to walk this way, to liberate all beings, to come out with the four basic vow of the great Bodhisattva. Then to persevere means diligently just cultivate without question, you just do. Don't try to know. Then that actual perseverance is the cultivation itself, the actual practice, the actual training of the mind, the actual meditation. So with these three, the way will unfold, the path will be there, enlightenment in the here and the now will be possible. So these are very important understanding. So like Shenhua said, as present, however, we have not uncovered our own true nature. And we use a false thinking mind, means the conditioned arising mind, to manage our affair. By analogy, the false thinking mind is like a blind man, and the true mind is like a man who can see. This is, in a way, quite true, understand? When you are deluded, you are really like a blind man. When you are heedless, you are really, really blind spiritually. But when you have wisdom, understanding, there is clarity, then you are no longer blind. You are like a person who can see. Why do we conduct ourselves solely on the basis of false thought? You know what are false thought, isn't it? Wangxiang. You know, your heedless thinking, all these thoughts are what they call heedless thinking, understand? Not important. That's why the mahayana call it false thinking. They have nothing to do with the truth, understand? All based on delusion, ignorance. That's why it's called false thinking, or false thought. He asked you this question, and now I ask you, have you lost your true mind? Have you lost your true mind? Have you? Have you lost your true mind? Because you are incapable of coming into contact with it. That's why it's like you didn't know it exists, understand? You never lose it. It's always there waiting for you. But because you never knew it exists, and you never understand how you can connect. That's why those who don't have the understanding, they will be at a loss. They will never understand what their true mind is, what their true nature is, what their Buddha nature is, because they fail to unfold it, they fail to connect to it. And to do that, you have to silence. The moment you are silent without thought, you connect. But human beings' problem is they are so heedless, they can't even have one moment of silence. And that is where the problem is. That's why they can never understand. Well, to them, it's impossible not to think. I ask many people, because they come and talk to me, then they ask me, hey, what you do in meditation? You close your eye like that. I say, you relax and silent. Silent means what? Don't think. He said, where can don't think one? The moment I close my eye, thought went all over. He said, oh, I said, not bad. At least you can see your thought running around. He said, after that, I feel sleepy. So I say, if you are not interested in meditation, then very difficult to understand. But you are interested in meditation, then I can explain to you. There was one classmate, uni mate of mine. He has affinity with me. He was very close to me. But he's not the type that wants to learn all this one. So he has been living his life. Of course, he's quite successful in the career field, materialistic wise. But he got problem, a lot of problem. He drinks a lot, he smokes a lot. and he have a lot of this weakness. Then recently I was so surprised. I saw Sui An add his name to our Maikaya Mitasai. Then I was thinking, how come this guy suddenly appeared from nowhere? Then suddenly he called me last Wednesday. I think we had it at Pamasuri's house, remember, the Thursday class. He said, I thought it was at Sui An's house. How come now change to USJ 9? Is it? Oh, I said, you are coming? He said, yeah, I'm coming. Oh, I said, okay, you don't come this Thursday. I said, you come next Thursday. So I think next Thursday he's coming. Then he asked me, what do you teach? So I know what he want to hear. I teach you not to have fear, worry, anxiety. I teach you how to train your mind to have more moment of peace, happiness, and joy. Silent. Wow, the moment he hears it, I will come. Because he said he got a lot of problems. He cannot even have a moment of peace. He said this thing is disturbing him a lot. He used to have anxiety. He has a lot of anxiety. He's on medication. He has been telling me since the early days when I was working for him. He owns a consulting firm. He's one of the two partners there, major partner. But he's a very nice person. He actually treated his staff very well. And he run that company very well. But he has his problem. So I was very surprised. But I had a lot of joy. If he can come, it will help him a lot. But he used to tell me is that he smoked a lot. The reason why he smoked is because he cannot calm himself down. So I said, yeah, that one is anapanasati. So when you draw, you are very mindful how the smoke go in and how you can blow it out. Oh, I said that one is very soothing. It can calm you down, but you become addicted to it. And you don't need the smoke to develop anapanasati. You only need the breath. So it will be interesting to see him coming. So 2 days' time, hope to see him. I got a few classmates. I think they are also cultivating. But they didn't know that I am so deep into this and I teach. Then recently a few came. There was one that took me to the Thursday class on Sian's house. That one is, I think he has affinity. The wife told me, one day I met the wife, he has been reading your book. Ever since he got your book, non-stop reading your book. Then he got very interested. Because he knew this type of teaching is very difficult to come by. And he got so much joy reading the Dhamma. So all this is possible when you have the condition. When the condition is appropriate. And when things happen, things will arise. Condition will arise, then it will fall into place. Okay, we will read on. Have we lost our true mind? I have explained to you. It's never lost. It's always there. But living beings' problem is due to heedlessness, delusion. You are not able to silence your mind. You are not able to come into contact with that true mind. You can never have a moment of peace and silence to connect, to realize that. So that's why Xuanhua here, he answered the same. No, the true mind has not been lost. So now you got confident now. A lot of people say, oh, you say, oh, my true mind is gone. Some will even tell you, lost already, cannot find. The Surangama Sutta explained that we use our false thinking because one unenlightened thought produced the three fine marks. Just now, Chen Yan Fasi used the word what? The three subtleties. Here he said the three fine marks. These are not fine marks, these are delusions, the evil roots. The mark of karma, the mark of turning, and the mark of manifestation. Occlude the true nature so that the Tathagata's precious store cannot appear, cannot manifest. You know why they use this word karma? The mark of karma. Yeah, the Buddha already said, you are born on your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. Each and every living being, you are what you are because of your karma. So because of karma, there is karmic obstruction. Understand? Not? There is karmic affliction, karmic repercussion. That's why all this will obstruct you, will create hindrance in you, will create suffering in you, affliction in you. That's why you don't take care of karma, you don't purify your mind to develop the understanding to avoid evil and do good. Your nature, your karmic nature will fall. Then the negative karma will keep on haunting you. That's why living beings suffer a lot, become afflicted, miserable, full of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. And all these are the result of karmic consequences, karmic friction. So Xianhua also say it's the same. Your true nature is occluded by karma, by the mark of turning and the mark of manifesting. When we truly believe we are the Buddha and have actually perfected the Buddha's mark of wisdom and virtue, we will understand the great principle. That's why the great principle is very important. But how do you develop the cultivation to connect so that you can benefit from it? The true mind is always there. The Buddha nature is always there. But how come living being is still living being? It's because they do not understand. They don't have the Dhamma. And they don't have the understanding to develop the cultivation, the perfection, so that the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind can silence and cease. Even before it ceases, the moment it's silent is good enough. That's why initially is to train your mind to be ever mindful. That is the first step towards heedfulness. Then when it's already ever mindful, use it to insight into phenomena, to develop the wisdom, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to realize the enlightenment. That is heedfulness. So if you are not heedful, the Buddha says you are as if dead. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So you only need to train your mind to be heedful. And it's not that difficult, is it? Is it that difficult? Just to be heedful, to be mindful, to be with the moment. It's so easy. For those who can do it, it's so easy. And the moment you are heedful, you are home. You can start to understand a lot of the essential Dhamma, the Buddha's essential Dhamma, and the essence of his teaching, the Four Noble Truths. Everything will unfold. And the understanding will liberate your mind. And you become so different. your life take a turn. Then you realize everything has become so different. That's like the moment you wake up, you have clarity, you understand. You will not go back to the old way. The heedless way of living life will never come again. You will never, never go back to the old way. Because you can see so clearly, black and white, one lead to suffering, misery, affliction, and so much delusion, heedlessness. The other one is so beautiful, so much clarity, so much joy, so much happiness, so much peace, tranquility, stillness, so much meaning to life. There is so much wholesomeness, goodness. That's how you will have all the beautiful mind state instead of all the negativity of mind. So all these are within the living being's ability to develop them. The moment you put in the sincerity, the faith and the diligence, and when you start to develop this cultivation, you will come to the understanding and you will awaken. Especially now when the sasana is still around, it's very easy, not difficult. Okay? Wow, 10:30, so fast. So the fifth one, you all go back and read so that next week when we come, we can go through this. Yeah. The great Mahasattva, the fifth criteria is he cultivate the great conduct. That's why they are very, very noble in all aspects of life. They have this great understanding of the great principle. Then they cultivate the great conduct, the conduct of a noble ones. The four beautiful qualities of a noble one. Of you chant Supatipanno, all the four of them, of wise conduct, of upright conduct. So all these are the qualities of the great beings, real cultivator. How come I go and fold this page? Oh yeah. So we stop at this page. Okay. You got any question? You got any question? Maybe I can take one. Anybody got any question? Yeah? Anybody? Everybody looking at Hui Long. Oh yeah. May. Where is May? Oh, India, yeah. You are the mother, you are Queenie, Queenie Ku. She volunteered to do a transcript for one of the question asked by Susan. It was a very good transcript question, but a lot of mistake inside there. I don't blame her because the dhamma not so good, but that was a very good transcript. Obvious that question bring for a lot of condition for me to explain the lying down meditation, because Susan asked me about lying down meditation. And it led to many, many of those important understanding. So I have already finished the transcript. Thanks for your draft. I will try to finalize it by tomorrow. Then maybe I send it out, somebody get it printed. Then Thursday we can have the sharing. That one was very good. Yeah, yeah. The one in Wuping Qingse, the talk was in September 6th. Then I also don't know, they didn't tell me they want to do the transcript. But maybe they find the question interesting. What was the reason you all did the transcript of that question? Oh, Miss Lee asked you to do. Oh. Wow, Miss Lee now, very smart. Yeah, she herself got to go do other things. Then she get her to do, which is not bad. It arises the condition. Because in that answer, actually, I answered very detailed. Then after that, there is another further part about the email and the monk one. But that one, I think she didn't transcribe it out. Never mind. I know, he tell you until there, but he only interested in there. Because I answer and explain the two type of Nibbana and how to do it and how to realize it and other things. And how to develop the cultivation. Oh, I was very surprised. Then when I saw the draft, because the whole draft I read, I cannot understand. Because it's not what I write. A lot of words wrong. Like energy field. Field is F-I-E-L-D. He put energy F-E-E-L. Energy field. I read, I cannot understand. Then many other places. But it's okay because for her, it's already considered good. Where she is very new to Dhamma. And all those term you cannot understand. It's about enlightenment. About the mindfulness and the heedfulness. And how that thing happened, the transformation. And why you do lying down meditation. And when to do and all those things. That one was very good. And I was also quite surprised that I spoke on that. That's why very funny. Wu Pingjing said there. A lot of funny things got shared. The higher being want to understand. That's why there and Thursday class and even our Tuesday class and Klang, off and on, when they want to understand, there will be something shared on. But unless you're a real cultivator, you will not understand what is being shared. But those who really cultivate, they have a lot of joy and they understand. And because these are very difficult to come by, and very few people can have that understanding. Even this Friday's talk, that title, you think how many people dare to talk or give that Dhamma talk? You read the title, so you panic. But it was a very good title. That's why I said you can do like the title, you already awakened. Because he must have got it from somewhere. I don't know where did this Brother Gan got it. I read to you from what he sent to me. Okay, he said, "Good afternoon, Brother Teo. I just received it today. The suggested topic for this Friday, 27 of November talk is understanding awareness or sati in every breath we take, every thought we create, and every movement we make in daily life during our cultivation. So, if you don't have the real mindfulness, you can't even speak on this topic, I tell you. It's not watching. You don't watch. The moment you watch, you are gone. Because the thought is active. No, you're just silent. You're silent, all this will be there. You have to be silent. That's it. The reality is just silent. The moment you say aware, actually the knowing come out already. But the real awareness is before the knowing. Understand? That's why understanding that awareness in every breath, in every arising of thought, no words on. That's why it's complete silence. This is the real state. And when you can be in that state, you already, chances are, already awakened, at least a sotapan. Otherwise, you cannot reach that state. That's why the daily mindfulness is the real one. And when you are in the daily mindfulness state, your mind is like that. No thought, nothing. Fully aware. Every moment, every instant. That's why that transcript, I talk about 24-hour meditation and how to develop it. And it can be done. That's why all these are possible. But you have to really understand what sati is. And I'm very, very happy because many kayamita, I can tell you, they understand what the silent mind is. And they can be with that silent mind most of the time throughout the day. And they are not like what you think every day meditate. No, because they have faith. They are very serious. and that faith drives them, the virya. Then they listen attentively. That's why everything they do, they are mindful. And their mind becomes so different because they see the difference between heedlessness and heedfulness. The danger of being heedless and the past and the present is so different. That's why they will never fall back to the old. But when you go and do meditation, retreat, in and out, and you never change, every time you come back to daily life, you are still the same square one. You never progress, I tell you. Technically, most of these people are wasting their time. But when you are very serious, you progress very fast. And you don't have to be somebody fantastic. You only need to have this three things: faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Just two, don't try to know. And I realize these are the people who are very simple. Not so conditioned. Don't have so much dhamma. They are very new. A very simple mind. And most of them have suffering. These are the people who understand very fast. Because they can relate to real life happening. But when you have too much idea, too much knowledge, too much dhamma, then that actually hinders, prevents. Because you only need to have faith. Then sincerely cultivate, persevere. Then the Dhamma will unfold. The moment you are silent, the Dhamma will unfold. The moment you are heedful, aware, the Dhamma will unfold. Don't try to know. Don't try to have too much Dhamma and knowledge. Just silent, relax, aware, develop the spiritual faculty, have faith, cultivate. Be fully aware throughout the day, everything you do, every moment, every action. At first, don't even have to go to the thought and all those things. Just be with your kaya, so that your thought does not run ahead of your action and movement. Anchor your mind to all your kaya. Then when your mind is constantly aware of your movement and your attention, the kaya nubhasana, suddenly you will realize your mind is already in sati. Because it's not thinking anymore, it's not heedless anymore. Like they told me. Now it's so different. It's so sensitive. The heartbeat, like earlier Elsie told me, last time when he can feel the heartbeat in the former day, he's very happy. Because that is a sign that the mind is more mindful. But then nowadays, it becomes so different. Throughout the day, he can feel it without having to be in the sitting posture. And nowadays, there is little or no thought at all. And there is so much clarity, so much different from what happened earlier on and now. And she, I think, less than 1 year. How many months are here? November. Or June. June until now, how long? 4 months. You ask yourself. And because she has faith. When she came, she was no different from any of these heedless people, I tell you. But I can see her, the fear, the everything. She was very amazed with what happened to Alicia, because they are very close friends, very good friends. And she helped Alicia during the early days when Alicia was having problem going through life. He was a good listener, a good friend. So because of that, Alicia, out of love and compassion, actually introduced her and brought her here. And within very short time, because of the faith, she has progressed very well, very well. And there was one sharing in one of the recording, I forgot which one already. She did a very good sharing, using her own words, which was very beautiful. But she wants to play her role. Last time she benefited from other people sharing. Now she has developed this ability to understand and benefit. She wants to share back and let other people develop their faith too. So this is something that is very, very beautiful. And really rejoice. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And thank you to all the Kayamita who have made good progress. I really rejoice. This is your greatest gift to my nature. Nothing else can be better than the cultivation itself. Okay, so we end, huh? Oh, sorry. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits, then transfer of merits. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas. Akasatta cha bumata devanaka mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed ones. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let this marriage accrue to our departed relatives and all those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Then we will do the blessing for our nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end.